We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to the 8th chapter, the 8th paragraph, page Kuf Samach Hei. Veda, says the Chafetz Chaim, I want you to know. Dema sheyesh omrim, demutar lesaper lashon hara al ba'alei ha'machloket. People sometimes say it's permissible to say lashon hara about people that are argumentative, people who are always quarrelsome. דווקא אם הוא רואה שעל ידי שיגלה לפני אנשים את גודל תרמיתם בזה העניין ויראו שאין הדין אימם מתוך זה תושבת המחלוקת. That's only true if you know that by telling people you will uncover the secret plot of making arguments and quarrels, and by revealing it, so then people will stop fighting. Sometimes if you tell people, oh, so and so starts a fight with everyone, he can't get along with anyone. So then by saying that, people will realize that it isn't a real fight, it's a quarrelsome person. So sometimes you could end the fight that way. אבל בלאו הכי אין שום חילוק בדבר. But if that's not the case, then there's no room to start talking about someone and saying he's argumentative or if you know that by saying it, you will stop the argument. גם צריך לאילו הפרטים שעבר. There are another few details that I will enumerate now, says the Chafetz Chaim. Number one, שהדברים שעל ידם מוסכם בדעתו שהם בעלי מחלוקת ידע מעצמו. First of all, you need to have first-hand information that this person is a quarrelsome person. ולא יסמוך על זה, על שמיעה מאחרים, אם לא שנתברר לו שהוא אמת. Don't rely on what other people say, unless you know it's true. You have to verify that it's true. That's point number one. Point number two, צריך שיכוון לתועלת. You have to have an intention of bringing about good things. ולא מצד שנאה. Your intention can't be out of your own personal feelings of enmity towards that person. So you have to have the pure intentions to get the argument to settle. Number three, אם באפשרותו להשקיט המריבה באופן אחר, if there are other ways to end the fight, so then שלא יצטרך לדבר עליהם, if you can end the fight without speaking badly about the person, כגון על ידי הוכחה, וכיוצא בזה, for example, if you would go to him directly and say, you know, you sort of have a history, you started a fight with Mr. A, with Mr. B, with Mr. C, אסור לו לספר לשון רע עליהם, then you can't take the route of telling other people, you know, so-and-so is quarrelsome. אם לא שהוא יראה להוכיחם, פן כשידעו בעלי המחלוקת מזה, שאין דעתו עמהם, יפירו עצתו. Sometimes, if they know your intention, so then they won't let you end the fight. So by going to them directly, they will preclude your ability to end the fight. ושוב לא יהיה לו יצח לתקן את הדבר, then you might not be able to help. Now this comes up. You will meet people in your life who are quarrelsome people. And this can be a plumber, that whenever he fixes things, he changes the price. And whenever you hire him, you run into problems, nothing goes smoothly, and suddenly you realize this is a recurring theme with this guy, and then you hear that your neighbor had problems with him, the next guy had problems with him, and suddenly you realize that this guy is just not reliable, and that he causes fights, and he always causes fights, because this is his way of getting more money out of people. And then he makes believe he's all insulted, and if you show other people his bluff, so then you might resolve the fight. An example of this is certain movers in Israel. They'll close a price with you for the move. And when they finish the move, or in the middle of the move, they'll tell you, you know, this is a much bigger job than we expected. And they'll always find a reason to tell you why the job is different than what they thought you agreed on. And it doesn't matter that they came and saw the apartment first. They'll tell you, we didn't see all the way into your attic. We didn't know how many boxes you had in your attic. What?
That's famous in Israel, buying a house that isn't built.
But here, once you tell someone, I've told people, before you move, make sure you close a price, make sure you ask an estimate how many hours they think it will be, make sure you close everything concretely, and write it down at the time of the conversation, so you have notes. It's not whether you remember or don't remember. And then be prepared that at the end of the move, certain movers will start telling you why you have to pay them more than you actually agreed upon before. When this was done to me the first time, no one told me this is standard practice. And I said to the mover, I want you to tell me, have you ever reduced the price for anyone? because it turned out to be easier than you expected. So he said, I'm not answering that question. I'm telling you, you should pay me more. I said, wait, you saw the job, and now you're saying it turned out to be harder than you thought. So I just want to know, if it goes in one direction, would you ever go in the other direction? Would you ever take less if a job turned out to be easier than you expected? Have you ever done that? And the guy wasn't willing to answer me. He walked out of the house. Okay, I said, if you want to tell me that when we close a price, it's not a done deal, so explain to me the other way. Now, no one told me this was a standard practice. We once were thinking of buying an apartment, and in the middle of the negotiation, the real estate agent tells me, you know what, you don't have to buy it. You don't want, I want it. I said, you're supposed to be my agent. What do you mean you want it? He said, it's a very good deal, and if you're haggling with the seller, then I'm going to take the house. I said, okay, I'm leaving. And I got up to leave the room. So he said, what are you doing? I said, if you, who are supposed to be my real estate agent, I have to deal with you. You're on the other side of the table. You're bargaining against me. So, okay, good luck. It's all yours. I'm not in this deal. So then, I didn't know this was an old trick in the book. I didn't know I was being honest. Meaning, I didn't know. But had someone told me in advance that that's a standard trick that real estate agents will do to their own client to try and get the sale to make money, it would have helped me. It would have avoided the fight. Till today, I hold it against the guy.
I need to write a book here about, you know, like the newcomer's guide and everything. I mean, it's dangerous because it's almost like lingerie. I was just having a cup of coffee. I had to make some calls at the bus station. What's the name of the Aroma Cafe? They ask you, are you sitting there or are you going? I said, I'm sitting there. It's another shekel or two. I'm a friar. Like three quarters of the people are sitting there with their paper cups like they're going, taking up tables and this and that. And that's stealing, according to the strict way of looking at things. It's crazy. It's just like you're saying, what they're doing here in any normal thing, unless you say that's the standard way of doing business.
I was told this happens in the United States too.
It happens. It happens, but it doesn't. It's not the norm.
I don't know if it's the norm.
I know. Look, I love it. You know, people will put a sweater on your kid outside. People will, you know, help you out. There are many great things. I'm not saying, but there's certain things that, you know, just are outrageous.
But the Chafetz Chaim says, if you can prevent an argument by giving someone the no, so then if you have the facts, your intentions are for the good, and you don't have another way of silencing the quarrel, then you're allowed to tell him. So here I'm not saying about a specific person. I'm saying you do come across circumstances where you see it can be a trade, and it can be also a specific person that you know is has a history. I have a very good friend, and in his line of work, almost everyone he cuts a deal with, it ends up being a fight. And he's convinced everyone's wrong, and he's always right. And he once came to me and said, you're a rabbi, I want you to look over this paperwork and tell me who you think is right. And I looked over the agreement, and I said, I have to tell you, I think you're wrong. I showed him in the paperwork why I thought the guy, I said, if I'm biased, I'm biased in your favor. I don't know the other party. But I'm reading the paperwork, and the agreement sort of says what the other guy is arguing against you. I'm sorry, and I showed him the line in the agreement. And so he closes up the paperwork and he says, you don't understand. Okay, maybe I don't. You know, he chose to ask me, maybe I don't. So we're still friends, but it's a little bit sad because the guy in his line of business is always getting into fights and he's convinced he's right.
Does he do construction?
No.
He's using a lot of energy. It could be, you know,
it's chaval. So imagine if you know a guy like this and he's getting into a fight with someone who he's doing work with. Says the Chafetz Chaim, there are times where if you pull the wool off of the person, if you come and say, hey, this is a guy that always fights, and by making fights he tries to get more out of people. So then he says you need three factors. Number one, you have to know the facts. Number two, you have to intend for the benefit, your intention isn't that of hatred. And number three, it has to be that there's no better way of getting things quiet without it. But then you're allowed to say it. But the Chafetz Chaim says you have to really think things through here. A person shouldn't be quick to decide. You can't be quick to decide so-and-so is a guy who's always fighting fights. רק שיתבונן היטב על פי התורה מי הם בעלי המחלוקת. You actually have to take a good look to understand who's involved in this argument. ואם אינו יכול לברר בדעתו הדין עם מי, שבעל תעשה עדיף. And if you can't really clarify who's in the right and what's the right move, you can't do anything. Sit down quietly, says the Chafetz Chaim. There will be times where you know and you can quiet down the fight by sticking in those two cents. But you have to really, really know where the truth lies.